Know why I'm looking like this, everybody? Because of my shirt! Raised on scrambled porn! Yeah! We would be like this, like, I think I saw a nipple. Anyway, good evening, everyone. Don't worry, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. It is Monday night, November 9th, 2020. This is Breakfast Soup Raw. I am Don Tony, as always. And join along with me, who is now relocated to Chicago. Unfortunately, he does not have his video set up yet for 1 week. Join along with me is
Anthony Mascheri Thomas. How's it going, everybody? How's it going, DT?
Not too bad. Now, I promise everyone out there, my Band-Aid's falling off. I cut myself shaving earlier, everyone. You see the dot? But don't worry, everyone. We have no blank screen tonight. What I came up with is this. So, Mish is on, you know, but if anybody out there know his screen is not frozen, but I put a picture up there, so at least we can do the show. And, sure. You know, creepy Mish face. If he was looking at the other way, it would be, if I switched the screens, it would look creepy. Because, he, they have that saying, like, God sees you masturbate. And you look at that one, it looks like Mish is watching you masturbate. I'm sorry, but, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't have one of the pictures with the red screen on it. That would have been perfect.
Yeah. I know. I you know what? I actually was going to put the red background, but I just had a problem like resizing it and everything, and I didn't want your face to look like this. So this picture seemed to fit nicely. But how's everybody doing tonight? We just got a Raw that, I'll be honest with you, we did have some decent matches tonight, but as far as the road to Survivor Series, I don't think tonight helped at all. If anything, what I think happened was it just, these storylines are fit for children. We got grown adults arguing as far as, I'm the captain, I'm the skipper, you're fire face, and you're dopey, and I'm clown, and this and that. And then you got two adult women in the back, Lexi. It's him or me, Lexi. You know, in storyline only, you think Nikki Cross, you think the moron would have realized when she broke your favorite mug that maybe that's a little telltale sign that, you know, that's it, sayonara. After all of these weeks, oh, man, this episode really challenged me tonight. I mean, the third hour of last week was the lowest quarter hour or, you know, hour of Raw in its history. More people watched wrestling on Wednesday night than the third hour of Monday Night Raw last week. So what do you do? Last week's main event was Drew McIntyre versus Miz and Morrison. And we'll do it again. But this time we'll throw the New Day and Randy Orton in there. And can you see it a mile away? Next week, Randy Orton versus Drew McIntyre for the title right before Survivor Series. The Sheamus turn on Drew next week, do you think? Or do you think they wait until after Survivor Series?
I almost thought he was going to turn on him tonight. Yeah. I mean, just that whole pat on the back, and then he was joking about their times in the past. And I'm like, and then they went off screen for half a second. I'm thinking, oh, okay, Drew's going to turn around and Sheamus is just going to brogue kick him or something. So,
yeah.
Didn't happen, but
some people are tuning in late. I'll probably have to say this a couple of times tonight. Mish just moved this week from Philly to Chicago, and he does not have his video set up yet. He has his audio done, but the video's not set up yet.
Yeah, so I can.
Rather than looking
tell
at a blank.
Basically, it's been a month. It's been a week-long move. You know, there was moving stuff from storage here in Chicago and moving stuff straight out of PA, and then obviously right now we got everything up in the new place, but everything's still in boxes.
Yeah.
So half of it's unpacked, half of it's still in tubs and boxes and stuff, and you just got to sort through all that. So
absolutely,
that'll be done this week in between doing shows. And I just to let people know too that we're obviously waiting for Wrestling Soup. Wrestling Soup was not live on Thursday. We Joe and myself did a show on Sunday. For those people that, you know, tuned in, it should be uploaded either tonight or tomorrow morning. I had a lot of audio issues once again. I'm working at half mast here, no pun intended. So, but by next week, everything will be
copacetic. It's all good. It's all good. I tell you, honestly, you know, with did you see the AEW pay-per-view yet?
No, I did not get a chance. I was physically moving stuff in. So
yeah, it's one I think you would enjoy. I think if you have the capability, I mean, I know $59.99 is really, really tough for anybody out there. I don't know, you know, $59.99, even no COVID, that's kind of steep. But you have the means of watching it, maybe at a reduced price or free, I would definitely check it out. It was pretty damn good. Okay. I actually gave it a 9.5 out of 10.
Really?
Yeah, wow. I don't remember the last time I've done that. So there really was not a bad match the whole night. But, you know, look, tonight's show, everyone, and I talked about it on the Q&A earlier today. If you haven't checked it out yet, please do. I did the latest Q&A, and there is a video on the channel where you can post questions, and the next Q&A will be the day after Survivor Series, 2 weeks from today. This way, anybody that wants to get any questions in post-Survivor Series, you can. But, you know, one thing that I said, you know, in really looking back to last week, obviously we did most of the show pre-recorded. I also did a part of it live last week. Between that episode and Wednesday and Friday and the pay-per-view recap, you know, there was over a dozen hours of show. And I appreciate everyone out there who follows what we do. But I also understand that a lot of you out there enjoy other people's shows as well. And it would be a little bit disrespectful for me to tell everyone, hey, here's 10 to 15 hours of DT or DT slash Mish every week. You know, who has that much time to ingest every minute of every show that we do and then check out other people's shows? So really what we're really, I mean, I know I've said this a million times in the past, but, you know, it's more of a physical thing as well. When you start getting to 50, you know, by the way, happy birthday, Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho turns 50 today.
That's right.
Yeah.
Good for him.
He looks great. You know, I love other people out there who, you know, are making fun of this guy's physique. And I'm like, you know, show your fucking physique before you make fun of this guy. Seriously. You know, The guy is still doing it. He is extremely over with the AEW fans. He did a fucking, like a Frankensteiner off the top rope on Saturday, which I can't remember the last time he's done that. But I just love all these people making fun of him. And I'm looking at their profiles, and there's either no body pictures or body pictures when they were children. And I'm like, right, you know, before you make fun of this guy, why don't you post your fucking physique and see how you feel when everybody makes fun of you? So, but today is also the anniversary of the Montreal Screwjob. 23 years ago.
Oh, is it really? Jesus. Wow.
23 years ago.
Well, I'm feeling old now. Thanks, DT. Appreciate that.
I mean,
Jesus Christ, man.
Just think about it. Aaliyah wasn't even an embryo yet. Aaliyah wasn't even born yet. I mean, actually, if you think about it, it was like 4 years until Aaliyah was born. And I know I don't want to start using Aaliyah as the point as far as looking at age and everything. Right. My God, did you see that loser? I think he's from the Kardashians, that's dating a 19-year-old and he's like 37. And I haven't seen one fucking wrestling fan that follows the Kardashians make a comment about a 37-year-old dating a 19-year-old. They don't say a fucking word, but a storyline with Murphy and Aaliyah, that's sacrilegious, it's disgusting, it's terrible.
You know how that goes. There's a lot of hypocrisy in wrestling as a whole, and even with fandom as a whole, there's a lot of hypocrisy in it. I absolutely agree, though. If you're going to put down the stakes on Aaliyah, then you should absolutely call out other bullshit that's going on in the media as well. So,
yeah, I'll tell you this much. I would be flattered. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously I'm taken, but I'd be flattered if a 19-year-old chick actually expressed a little interest in yours truly. I would actually make me feel good.
Don't invite that. What's the matter with you?
Invite it. Listen, I could invite it and I could say, I'll drink it in. I'll take just innocent. You think there's 19-year-olds out there that are saying, okay, in that case, no. You know what?
There's different ways of it, though. I mean, accepting a compliment from somebody that's younger than you, that's going to make you feel good.
Sure.
Accepting relations from someone who could be your child or your grandchild.
It's a little odd. But you know what? I understand people with a large age gap that date. Sometimes what we see, looking at a lot of these cases is that the very young person missed a father figure in their life growing up. And this person, it almost looks at them as also a father figure that they really never had or, didn't have to its potential. I brought this up before. Me and my fiance, we're 10 years apart. But, when I met her, though, she was already in her 30s. It's not like I met her at 17 or 19 years old, But
I know that there's a lot of you out there that actually have a large age gap as well.
Pat is commenting right now, him and his significant other are 11 years apart. They get along perfect. I think the reason why I get along with my fiance, who's 10 years younger than me, is because I've had a few people online accuse me that, you're kind of immature. So I'm probably, just acting 10 years younger.
It is okay.
It works. It's all good. what did Joe say, that prick?
No, he's just talking about that's why he's so attracted to Mickey James. She can be his mommy figure.
How old is Mickey James? 38?
No, I think she's the same age as me. I think she's 42.
Wait, you're 42?
Yeah.
I had no idea. I swear to God, I had no idea. I thought, it actually kind of makes sense because we go back so long. It's amazing how many years. We started talking, 2005?
God. Yeah, 2005. I was listening to the show back in 04, back when I was doing Revolution Radio. Which was a tiny little show that I was doing for a forum. But from there, we started talking about 2005 when I started doing stuff with you and the Minority Report boys. Yeah. So.
Anthony Diaz, mm-hmm. You made a comment saying nobody in the chat is talking to any women. What? Why are you assuming that everybody in the chat is heterosexual?
Well, that too. Oh, yeah, it's definitely...
No, I'm only kidding. No, I know what his point is. We're here to talk about wrestling. I know there's a lot of turmoil going on in this world. Technically, the presidential candidate is not technically elect yet because it hasn't been certified. What do you think about all of that with Trump in the courts and everything else?
All right, so... There's something, I talked about it a little bit on Sunday with Joe, and I think that there's a lot of people that need to understand that there are three major things that have happened during this presidency that have never happened before, DT. The first thing is online voting. The idea that online voting was an actual thing this year for a variety of a few states is something that hasn't happened before. The mail-in ballots en masse because of COVID was something that had never happened before. Usually it was restricted to like military personnel overseas and special cases where people would actually mail in ballots. And the third thing was 2 days of polling. The multiple day polling has never happened before. And I'm not saying this in favor that Trump is right and that these states screwed him over or whatever else like that. I'm not even getting into that because my brain is too small to understand what could have possibly went wrong. I'm just saying that there's been a lot of changes to the elections this year. And if anything could have possibly went wrong, this year was going to be the year that it does.
I agree. Look, I promise everyone out there, we will go back to wrestling in 2 minutes. Friday, I talked briefly on the show as to why I believe Trump lost the election. Tomorrow on Patreon, we are going to have a extended conversation about the election and everything that's going on. I truthfully believe that on either side, they have a right to contest it in court. If it's within a certain margin of error, it happened in 2000. It happened in the past. I don't know if there's going to be that much widespread fraud, say that fast 10 times, to over, you know, turn this election. You know, one part of me says, look, if there was a ton of fraud and Trump really won, then he deserves to be president. Another side of me says, though, is at the expense of the country burning down, I don't know. I stay away from it. I've watched, and it's weird because I've been saying this on the shows before. I've been watching tons of retro game shows, you know, for the last couple of weeks as a replacement for all the political news. And then Alex Trebek dies today. And by the way, who's the other game show host? Ted Kennedy. Was it Ted Kennedy? Was it Bob Kennedy?
The president's, yeah.
Who was Kennedy? Anybody remember the other game show host, Bob Kennedy? A lot of people forget that he died not too long ago at the age of, I think, 93. Not Bob Barker. I just said his last name was Kennedy. Yeah, Kennedy! No, it's like something Kennedy. George Kennedy, yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow, no love for Kennedy. Nobody has any clue who Kennedy was. He's like Bob Kennedy or something like that. John F. Kennedy, yeah, okay. Tom Kennedy, Wooga Wooga Man. Wooga Wooga Man. Shout out to you. Tom Kennedy. He died at 93. And, you know, Alex Trebek, I'll tell you, you know, I was never like a hardcore Jeopardy fan because I'm not going to lie. I honestly felt like the dumbest fuck whenever I watched Jeopardy, because I'd be sitting at home, and I don't know if anybody ever out there has been guilty of this. You're sitting with your parents or you're sitting with your significant other and Jeopardy is on TV, and someone says, oh, Alex, give me the NFL for 600. And then he asks the question, and you think that you're smart as fuck and you think you know the answer, so you say it out loud, and it ends up being wrong. I can't tell you how many times over the years I started watching it and I started answering the questions out loud. Wrong, 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 wrong. It made me feel like, you know, I had the brain child, you know, like the brain of a 6-year-old. Ken Kennedy. No. Wooga Wooga Man got it right. Kennedy. But, you know, I'll tell you this much. You know, people, I don't think, realize how much Jeopardy has bounced over into our lives because Julian, we were doing all the wrestling trivia up until a couple of months ago, and we stopped because a lot of people were angry that I kept winning. Certain aliens that live in Chicago with that, you know, with the last name that rhymes with Browser.
Browser, yeah.
No, seriously. But no, I had a ball, and we would do it Jeopardy style. I'll take WWE for 200, Julian. But rest in peace, Alex Trebek. He's out of his pain. I mean, pancreatic cancer is, you know, not, it's, you know, you try to survive it, but the amount of pain and anguish you go through at the same time, though, that man is out of his misery. You know, easier said than done. You know, if that was one of my loved ones, I would probably be selfish and hope to God that they would be able to survive. But that kind of pain that he went through and still did Jeopardy, I think he only missed one episode. So, but anyway, just so getting back to the election stuff, you know, I think that Trump has every right to go to the courts. Personally, if I was the Democrats, and the Democrats are convinced that Biden won and won by a lot, let him go through the courts. This way, two things happen. If Trump fails, you rubbed it in his face even further. Also, 70 million people voted for Trump. If you let it go through the courts and the courts say, look, Biden won, not all of those 70 million are going to feel better about it, but at least they feel that, okay, you know what, he won. And you got to accept it because we are Americans, and maybe that'll help in the healing process. If you allow or if you fight the courts doing this, you're going to have tens of millions of Americans that for the next 4 years are going to insist that this election was a fraud. We just went through 4 years of people saying that Trump's election was a fraud with Russian interference and all. You know, what are we going to go through? 30 years of elections that are going to be accused of fraud? Gets to a point where you got to just let it go. So me, I'm not thinking about it. You know, tomorrow we'll have a real in-depth conversation. I will bring up very specific reasons why I believe Trump lost. And did you vote?
No, I did not.
Okay. Well, you were moving.
So I was unhappy. You know what? Well, I was. I was literally on the road for 17 hours on the Tuesday that I was supposed to vote. But I mean, I've made it very clear before. I wasn't happy with either of them. Look, I'm just being honest. I thought that Trump was bad for the country, and I thought Biden was bad for the country. I think they both have some severe negatives. They do both have positives to them. I'm not going to take that away. But the negatives were pretty severe, in my opinion, to the point where I couldn't make a decision. And I know people said, well, why don't you vote on party or vote on politics themselves, Mish? You could have done other things. Absolutely right. But I didn't make the extra effort to find myself to a poll. So.
Yeah, I voted, but I didn't vote for Trump or Biden. I voted for all the other undercard. I voted for the whole undercard. And I voted mostly undercard. Republican. I voted mostly Republican, except for one person, Joe Addabbo, who's my neck of the woods. He's a Democrat, but I get along with him, and he does a lot for our neighborhood. But I figure if it ends up that Biden is president and the Senate is Republican, there'll be a balance. There'll be negotiations going on. And I think that might be our best bet for some type of balance for the next couple of years. So, but anyway, on a total unrelated note, shout out to Ken Terminator by DQ. Would we pop if Will Ferrell does a eulogy for Alex Trebek? Because he has impersonated. They've done game show stuff on those shows already.
Yeah.
It's interesting because I don't know if they're actually going to do comedy, you know, although I think it's appropriate. I think having a good couple of laughs, you know, Alex Trebek, you know, if maybe I'll piss everybody off by saying that every day he would watch Fox News. Did I just
really?
Hear anybody? No, but that is true. But he always said something that I have said publicly and I've written online many times in the past. I try to make one person smile every day. Seriously, I try to make one person smile or laugh every day. Whether it's giving someone a compliment, even if I don't mean it, if it's, you know, a show and try to have a couple of laughs, this and that, I always aim to make one person smile. And if I'm home in bed and I'm not going out, I'll call my mom. I always try to make at least one person smile a day. Yeah, there's days where I don't smile. You know, and I should smile before I make other people smile. But, you know, Alex Trebek said the same thing recently. He said, you know, I always wanted to make at least one person laugh or smile. And, you know, good. I'm glad that he's getting all this appreciation and love from people out there. And he was at WrestleMania, that epic Undertaker entrance that time. And then you had Slaughter versus Hogan. What was that? 91, I think it was, right?
Yeah.
I think it was 91. All right. Speaking of Undertaker, all right, I guess we could throw this out there because Raw was kind of shungada today, you know, so we'll get
really
to that.
It really was. I mean, other than probably the Asuka match, it was a little rough, and even that was a little hokey with the way that they turned that.
Well, but just, you know what, maybe we can just get Raw out of the way now so we guarantee an earlier night tonight. Mm-hmm. If anybody looks on a YouTube right now, right under where I say enjoy the show, you'll see the quick Raw results for tonight. That 24/7 title match tonight. Oh. By the way, speaking of anniversaries, and we'll get back to Survivor Series 97 a little later, but tonight is also the anniversary when Vince McMahon gave Mick Foley the Hardcore Championship, and Mick Foley was the first ever Hardcore Champion of the WWF. That's also the anniversary today. That happened, I believe, 1996, a year before this Montreal Screwjob.
Nice.
But when this match went down, every title change, I mean, when we play Murder Party And they do the dictation. Right. If you notice, I'm always on first with dictation for the most part. Tonight, I got tested with the dictation, and I think I got this right. So tonight, R-Truth, who had won the 24/7 championship off of Drew Gulak earlier in the night, because Drew Gulak got the shit knocked out of him from the Hurt Business. He wants to join the Hurt Business, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if this pisses off anybody, but his name is Drew Gulak, not Drew Gulak. So he wasn't joining the Hurt Business. But they beat him up, and then R-Truth pins him. But later on, we find out that R-Truth is going to defend the 24/7 championship in a seven-man match. And this was the results of that match tonight, everybody. I typed this. I didn't cut and paste from nobody. But if this is correct, R-Truth defeated... Whoa. What the fuck did I do over here? I did it in reverse. Okay. Tozawa beat R-Truth, Drew Gulak, Eric Tucker, Grand Metalik, and Lince Dorado. Eric defeated Tozawa to become the new 24/7 champion. Drew Gulak beat Eric to become the new champion. Tucker defeated Drew Gulak to become the champion. Drew Gulak beat Tucker to get the belt back. Tucker beat Drew Gulak to get the belt back. Grand Metalik defeated Tucker to win the belt. Lince Dorado beat Grand Metalik. And then R-Truth defeated Lince Dorado and got out of there with the 24/7 championship.
Mm-hmm. It was chaos at best.
They have jumped the shark with this.
You know what? It's funny, too, because I was thinking that, and I'm like, if you go back and you think about the days when we had the hardcore title, titles would change really fast like it did tonight. But I think the one key difference, DT, was that with the hardcore title, there was scenario changes. They were running through hallways. They were fighting in bathrooms. They were fighting on the street. Like, there was more to it. So it felt like, even though the title changed 15 times in one night, it was kind of funny. Like, they knew it was a gimmick, and they set it up like a gimmick. This hardcore, or this 24/7 title, isn't set up like a gimmick. It's like they're trying to almost pretend that it's a viable title on the same level. Do you feel that? Yeah, lazy. You know what? Dean says it in the chat room. He says the 24/7 title is lazy.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They could do so much more with it. If it's going to be a comedy title, why not go 100 with it? Why not go all the way with it? If you're going to make this as a joke belt, then stop trying to pretend that it's like a real, you know, competitive title and there's like some kind of like hierarchy to it. It's not. Do the stuff like when they had Briscoe pin Patterson, or Patterson pin Briscoe while he was sleeping. Briscoe
just pinned.
Yes.
For the hardcore championship. That's my favorite. I've said this before. That is my favorite hardcore championship match in history.
Oh, yeah.
That is my favorite.
Or even the times that they had. Joe, because Briscoe, let's be honest.
Hardcore championship. He pins Chris Holly while he's sleeping. And the APA
That's what I'm saying.
Supposed
R-Truth,
to defend him. He's supposed to protect him.
R-Truth is Crash Holly. That's what R-Truth is. R-Truth is Crash Holly. And the funniest thing about Crash Holly was he was always on the damn run. Crash Holly was always running. And that's kind of how R-Truth should be. And they've kind of done that in the past. It's like, just keep going with it. That's the enjoyment of R-Truth. R-Truth is a funny enough person who can get his character over and get this entire title over without it looking so cheesy and hokey and without trying to pretend that it's a legitimate belt. Go with the funny moments of it, you know?
When they first debuted that title, I don't know if you remember this, but I had come up with an idea originally that R-Truth is at the dentist and they give him funny guests. And then somebody comes in and pins R-Truth while he's laying in a dentist chair and he's got funny guests in him, so he doesn't know what's going on. We've come up with ideas of stuff in a store, on a plane. And they did a couple of things like that. You remember Tim White, the referee? They were horrible, but you remember those segments where Tim White kept getting murdered, kept dying.
Yes.
All right.
They were great.
For people out there that never saw those, because it's never talked about. It will never, ever be talked about.
Oh, yeah.
WWE. It will never be talked about by WWE. You got to look up the Tim White segments. You watch that, I promise you. If you watch that, and I drop my pants right now, and you saw my nuts, I guarantee you, your mouth will drop further after watching the Tim White segments. But the thing was, and I said this back in my hotline days, I gave WWE credit for the creativity part of it. And the 24/7 title would be manageable if they would look at everyday scenarios where R-Truth or somebody could get, you know, pinned or lost the title. There's so many scenarios. And like that gentleman said, WWE has just become lazy. It's cheap. How they did all those segments with the Viking Raiders and the Street Profits. What is the big deal of R-Truth like going to a drive-thru or something, you know, and he goes to give the people the money and the person, you know, grabs his arm and holds him through the window and, you know, something like that, or pulls him out of the window. And, you know, if you really want to go step further, you pull him into the drive-thru thing and you pin him. I mean, I'm just thinking on the fly. There are so many things they should take a week and they should write down everything that someone does in a week or a bunch of things. So just ask various people that work for the company, what'd you do yesterday? Oh, you know, I went and I picked up my dry cleaners. Oh, I went here, went there, and bingo, let's do that. And you do segments like that. And that's why Crash Holly in the airport, Crash Holly with the video games, Crash Holly going on the escalators. You had Al Snow, I think, in Hardcore Holly brawling in the river.
Yeah,
there's no creativity.
Well, I mean, you could even go silly with it since it's a 24/7 title. Wouldn't it be kind of at least funny if you saw R-Truth lose the title against Xavier Woods or something playing a video game? You know what I mean? Like, I'm just saying they can go anywhere with this title instead of just wrestling. They can do completely random off-the-wall shit that can be at least entertaining for the audience, you know?
It's become lazy. And look, it's no secret. You and I are big supporters of Lana. We think she's actually having a great time right now, even though for some reason I think people online think that she's having a miserable time.
I think they're buying into the storyline a little too much on this one, DT. I think Lana is absolutely doing just fine. And the fact that even Nia Jax went out there and kind of, as people on Twitter said, they buried her using Nia Jax, which honestly made me laugh my ass off. You know she's okay with this. Yeah. Like, I mean, come on.
But are we now big time jumping the shark with Lana getting put through a table? I mean, it's 8 times already. You know what I mean?
That's the gimmick now.
I mean, I almost think that Lana needs to put Nia Jax to a table.
It might happen, dude.
Seriously.
It might happen.
I think something should happen. And by the way, let me tell you something else that really, really pissed me off about tonight's Raw. Some of the matches were fine. But, you know, the mentality of some of these storylines, again, don't be Keith Lee. Don't be Braun Strowman. Don't be Sheamus. Yeah. They're saying AJ is not my captain. But AJ is in the middle of the ring with Jordan, and he wants to have a meeting, and he's acting like the captain, and he calls them out. And like robots, they come out. Just in storyline. If he's not your captain, you don't fucking listen to him. And then, you know, with this goofy idea about having a tag match, which was decent. But let me just take it one step further. You have Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose on commentary tonight. I swear to God, I mean, I'm not going to do it. I don't want to get sick. But I almost want to drink this whiteboard cleaner when I'm watching that. Because if you go back and you listen to it again, they're on commentary and they're saying that, you know, we need to be a cohesive unit. You know, we need to stop this friction. And then literally a second later, they're talking about how they almost beat Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax for the titles last week, but Lana got in the way and this and that. You just fucking said that you everybody needs to be together. And then a minute later, you're talking about your most. It's just everything was all over the place tonight. And I know when it comes to Roy, you're not supposed to, like, really comprehend everything, and everything's supposed to be, you know, it's almost like when you build, like, a model out of playing cards. You're not supposed to perfectly glue every card together. You just want it enough so it resembles something. But
right.
The storylines today, oh, he's the skipper. He's Funny Face. No, Funny Face is Naked Gun. He's, I almost said Blackface. He's Fireface. And it's like.
Well, don't say Blackface.
It's just awful. It's awful.
Yeah, no, it is. It's lazy.
About giving each other names. And I'm like,
the main roster shows have been bad. Dude, the main roster shows have been bad for a long minute now. This is not something new. I enjoy NXT pretty fully, like week to week. I'm a huge NXT fan. I think that there's a lot of untapped talent and storylines that are going on there. But yeah, the main storylines have been a little rough for a while. The only thing I can hope for is that Survivor Series lives up to a lot of the hype. So
let me ask you this. Undertaker, 30-year anniversary debuting.
Yes, sir.
They're doing his farewell at Survivor Series. I talked about this on Friday. I don't buy it for a second. Especially that we found out today that Pfizer, with the vaccine, they have a 90% success rate so far. More than 90%. I
saw that too.
Which is on, and a lot of people don't understand this. Measles, okay? Measles used to be an epidemic in this country and beyond. Measles, the vaccination for measles, has a 90% effective rate. So this vaccine, as of right now, is on the level of a measles vaccine. And if this keeps up, you know, this is it. You know, you could see light at the end of the tunnel. That's why I said on Friday, you know, I know Biden wants to put all these things in place in January. By January, the vaccine may be out already. And a lot of what he's saying is not needed, you know, but here's my point. With this vaccine, and they say it may be out at the end of this month, if this vaccine comes out, there's no way WWE is going to have The Undertaker retire in front of LED screens. You know, it's just not going to happen. WrestleMania, they're definitely having live fans in attendance unless we get COVID-20 or COVID-21 that surfaces. So
right.
I truly believe someone or some people are going to beat the balls off of The Undertaker and destroy him, and that is going to lead to maybe another match at WrestleMania. And I was looking up and down the roster. I know a lot of people lean to The Fiend. I know that rhymes. But I was thinking, What do you think about the idea of Retribution showing up and destroying The Undertaker?
I really don't like that at all. Do not like that at all. I know... You could see that they're doing more with Retribution. Tonight they came out with the NWO camera angles and stuff like that. I don't know, man. I don't have much faith in where Retribution is going. I'm not a fan of Ali being this leader because he just doesn't inspire the kind of confidence or even the aura of somebody that would be a guy leading all this. I understand if he was the Weasley type, but he's not even a Weasley type of heel. I don't see the correlation. It feels like it's completely forced. And now you even present the idea of Undertaker retiring his career to Retribution. This is almost as bad as Baron Corbin beating Kurt Angle and Kurt Angle retiring with no more words.
Right. You know? Undertaker will go out on top. And WWE did not do that for Kurt Angle. And that's why that whole thing with Baron Corbin sucked. It sucked.
Yeah.
I mean... They should have had Kurt Angle go out on top. I don't know why they insisted on the opposite. I guess they thought that would just really, like, help Baron Corbin's career big time as a heel, and this is Sinad, and everybody like, fuck you. What a waste. Yeah. And give Kurt Angle credit for really trying to make that seem well. I mean, it's like just going into like someone's house. They're going to make you dinner and all the food is all like, you know, moldy. And you just, you walk in there and it's, anybody ever smell like boiled cauliflower? I mean, just imagine rotten food and boiled cauliflower. And Kurt Angle comes in. He's like, that smells good. Oh, what do you make? Oh, my God. That smells like what my mom used to make. I mean.
Yeah, delicious.
But Retribution, and this is why I say this. There's the video recently of The Undertaker working out with some of the big boys. You know, sure. Dijakovic and others. And I almost feel like, you know, look, we know there's talented people behind those masks. And I'm wondering if, you know, even if The Undertaker prevails in the end, that if The Undertaker gives a little bit of a rub to Retribution, you know, and you have the whole cohesive unit, with the exception of Mia Yim, who will also be busy at Survivor Series. I'll tell you another idea in a minute. But you have all, you know, a group of people, so it doesn't feel like one person took him out. And I'm kind of feeling like maybe Retribution, you know, maybe that helps ignite the flame a little bit. Because I tell you, tonight, I know this is going to sound weird, but the stuff they did tonight and Ali against Ricochet, I thought it was the best showing of Retribution to date.
Really?
Everything. The promo in the back, letting Mia Yim talk a little bit. There was a little seed planted tonight. A little pink and blue seed, if you didn't catch it. I actually, tonight, this is the first Raw that after the episode was over, I felt that there was some progress in Retribution. Positive progress. I didn't see anything negative. The only negative point tonight, and only because I'm a stickler to detail, and this pissed me off. The very end of the match, Ricochet had Ali laid out, and he was going to climb the top rope. And instead of diving onto Ali, he dives outside and takes out all three guys. You go back and you watch it again. When Ricochet was about to go out of the ring to climb the top rope, I think it was Dijakovic who was in the wrong place. He was right around that corner, and you see it on camera, and he like scoots out of there quickly so Ricochet could climb the top rope. It looked bad on TV, in my opinion. Look, that could happen to anybody, but that's the only complaint I had tonight. But I think Retribution as a group may take out Undertaker, and maybe we find out that there's someone else involved with Retribution. I'm not saying it's going to be Shane McMahon or anything, because remember, they were teasing Shane versus Undertaker one more time.
Right.
That was this year. They were teasing, even though he's retired Undertaker. So who knows? Who knows? I'm trying to think of something good for Retribution, but let me also ask you this. Mia Yim is now starting to plant seeds about Asuka. Do you see Mia Yim showing up at Survivor Series and taking out either Asuka and Sasha Banks? And I don't mean to dinner. I mean just laying them out.
Right.
Where there's a no contest or something, and this leads to a feud with Asuka and Mia Yim. Reckoning.
I mean, they're going to have to do something with Mia Yim because she really is the odd man out, no pun intended. She really hasn't been involved with the other variations of the Retribution storyline. She's not even really involved with the ring antics other than like the epileptic seizure that she didn't have a couple weeks ago. I don't know where you put her. I don't see her being in the same vein, and this isn't because she's not capable of it, but I don't see her being even a competitor to the main event. I don't think that they should immediately throw her in with the title holders. I don't know if that's what they want to do. I mean, I guess it makes sense. Like, okay, even tonight when we were talking about Retribution The fact that the guys on the outside of the ring were afraid of the referee drives me insane. Stupid things like that, that they were afraid of the referee count. That stuff just drives me mad. When these guys are supposed to be completely just lawlessness, they're supposed to be anarchy. They're supposed to be Antifa, WWE's version of Antifa. And what are you going to do with a girl like Mia Yim? You put her in the title hunt the right way, well, the wrong way, by having her fight Sasha or Asuka and screw that up. And then you're going to sanction a match where she could be up against one or both of these girls. Like, I don't know, man.
I think we're going to
see Mia Yim should go out there and literally just crack both of them and leave. No title shot, no shot, nothing wanted. Just go out there and beat the hell out of people, and then for no other reason than being a part of Retribution.
Yeah, I think the next feud is going to be Asuka versus Mia Yim. Reckoning, you know, her name in Retribution.
And C-Boy in the chat is right. Mia's just one person, absolutely. That's right. All she is. She's one person. It's not like they had two or three women on Retribution, wink, wink, nod, nod. You know, which would have made more sense for women and men to hold their own for the group, for the stable. But now Mia's just by herself? I mean, is Dijakovic going to go out there and just start smashing the shit out of Sasha?
No.
You know?
No, that's not happening. By the way, a shout out to everybody who convinced us how many months ago that Chelsea Green is going to be show up on SmackDown. She's going to be here. She's going to be there. Oh, man, that was funny. People like, you heard it here first. Yeah, okay.
Right.
So anyway, let's fill in the blanks with Raw tonight. You know, we open up with Miz TV, Miz and Morrison. Randy Orton comes out there. You know, he's teasing that he's not thrilled at Miz because of the Money in the Bank briefcase, because if you think about it, Miz could pin Randy Orton at any time. You know, they're going back and forth, and Miz and Morrison also talking about how they could be the next tag champs. This brings out New Day, and you get the Acme Insta feud. You know, New Day, Miz and Morrison a little bit, which they're not taking those titles. And then you got Drew McIntyre, who comes out, and, you know, by the way, Randy Orton hit an RKO on Kofi, which looked pretty cool. Then Drew McIntyre comes out. And I'm telling you, I guess we could bring it up now. You know, at one point tonight, Sheamus and Drew McIntyre, to me, they had the conversation that was supposed to be for Jinder Mahal. If you remember, Jinder Mahal, when he first came back, they were going to tease, you know, a little bit of a 3MB reunion, that they, you know, like he's happy for Drew McIntyre, and this was going to lead to Drew getting attacked by Jinder and then maybe having a little bit of a feud. That didn't happen, obviously, because Jinder Mahal got injured. But, you know, later on in the night, you know, Sheamus wanted Drew McIntyre to be part of Team Raw for Survivor Series. Drew McIntyre is only focused on Randy Orton's title. So there was a backstage segment tonight where Sheamus and Drew were reminiscing, I guess, when they were wrestling before they even went to WWE, and, you know, talking about, you know, let's go out and get a cold one and this and that. And Drew is like, look, after I win the title, we'll go out for one, two, three pints and this and that. And Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre has to come to a very quick conclusion. Next week, they're fighting for the title on Raw. And I truthfully think that maybe it's appropriate for Sheamus to come out there next week, attack Drew McIntyre, because Drew McIntyre is not booked for Survivor Series. So I think what could happen, not saying it's going to happen, but what could happen is Drew McIntyre loses next week because of Sheamus. And then at Survivor Series, Drew McIntyre shows up and attacks Sheamus. And as a result, Sheamus gets counted out. Or, you know, like, it'll be a cheap way to get Sheamus out of that match. Or maybe he interferes and costs Sheamus, you know, being involved. And I think that's how you get away from Drew McIntyre versus Randy Orton for now. Because that feud cannot resume after Survivor Series. Everybody's, and by the way, what happened with The Fiend tonight? I mean, Randy Orton goes up the rampway. What happened to The Fiend being right behind him? Like,
oh, yeah,
you know, like nothing, nothing tonight.
I will say, you know, with Randy Orton tonight, I really did enjoy the whole, you know, don't kill the messenger with Pierce.
Right.
I thought that was really well done. I liked Randy in that situation where he was, you know, literally had him up against the wall, you know, and then he dusts him off afterwards. I don't know. I liked that. I thought that was a good exchange. It was one of those moments where Randy Orton actually turned on the promo, and it was very well, you know, very well received.
You know, just, I wanted to just mention something that Rain Entertainment said earlier. And Rain said that Vince has given Rey Telenueva, the Latino storyline stuff, for 15 years now with Eddie, Chavito, CM Punk, Brock, and now Seth Rollins. Yeah. I mean, we've been talking about it for a while. It's like a bad, you know, Telemundo, you know, show, soap opera. You know, I mean, everyone out there gives Mission Eye credit because we've been calling that idea with the Romeo and Juliet storyline, I think, 7 weeks ago, before there was even a hint that there was going to be any flirtation going on. You know, there's a couple of different ways they could go with that storyline. They could have it where, you know, Murphy was setting up the Mysterio family and using Aaliyah, but then really fell in love. They can also threaten. I don't think there's going to be a wedding on TV. I know a lot of people are doing podcasts now saying wedding, wedding, wedding. I could see the possibility of them, you know, threatening to run off and get married. But this is going to come to a conclusion, I think, soon. And Aaliyah has no wrestling ability whatsoever. She's not training. She's not, from as far as I know, even under contract. So this, you know, this storyline's going to be coming to a head, and I don't know where it goes. I mean, what's the end game for this?
Right.
I don't know. I mean, do you feel like Dominic is going to turn on Rey? I don't feel that coming right now. We've already seen Dominic and Murphy and Dominic and Seth, and Seth ripped the eyeball out of Rey Mysterio. We don't want to see that shit again.
Right. So, no, of course not.
I don't know where this goes from here. I don't know where this goes.
I don't know if they know where it goes. It feels like the storyline has had this ebb and flow, this shifting of balance more than a few times, where at one point, you know, you felt that it was all going to be based around Seth, and then it was based around Rey, and then it was based around Dominic, and now it's based around the relationship. Like, this has been a pretty convoluted storyline. I mean, there was good points and bad points throughout the whole thing, but you're right. I have no idea what the end game is for this. I mean, is the end game that Rey Mysterio retires and blesses his son? Like, I don't even know if that's in the cards anymore.
I have no idea. I'm baffled with it. You know, it is what it is. I don't know what. See, the problem is, what is the end game? Because we've already had Rey and Seth go through, you know, all their crap. You've already,
right.
I mean, Rey and Murphy? I mean, all right, but that's more of like a SmackDown match. I don't see that. We're going to be near the Royal Rumble soon. Then it's the road to WrestleMania. So this, put it this way, this storyline is probably going to have implications that lead all the way to WrestleMania. What is the WrestleMania match? I don't know. I mean,
oh, yeah, I don't either.
I mean, do we end up getting a major swerve where Aaliyah and Seth are an item and they set up Murphy? I mean, that's how whacked that. And let me be honest with you, if anybody's ever watched Telemundo with those Latino storylines, you know, somebody goes to confession and ends up the priest is fucking the chick.
Hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, you know, look, we all need to remember Seth Rollins is going to be leaving TV soon. Becky's going to be having their child, very soon. So this storyline's got to lead with Seth Rollins going off TV for a little while. I don't know where it goes, man.
Right.
I have no idea where it goes, but we will see. We get a triple threat. Well, they announced later on tonight we're going to have New Day and Drew McIntyre versus Miz, Morrison, and Orton. I think everybody could figure out pretty much what the conclusion was with that. We get a triple threat match. It is a second chance qualifying match with the winner getting the last spot in on Team Raw for Survivor Series. And you had Matt Riddle or Riddle defeating Elias and Jeff Hardy. Match went about 9 minutes. You know, match was a lot of fun. I'm a little concerned on how they're already using Elias when he came back. It doesn't feel like there's any momentum anymore with Elias. I mean, they made him look kind of goofy, you know, still thinking that Jeff, you know, like ran him over, even though we already know the storyline it was Sheamus. But, you know, I'm glad that Riddle is on the Survivor Series team, because you actually look at this match coming together. It's going to be a fun match. There's going to be some great wrestling in that match.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Well, I mean, the goofiness was the Battle of the Bands stuff, the idea of Jeff versus Elias doing a Battle of the Bands, which is kind of funny in itself. But the entire premise of Elias right now, I think, is they're trying to push that music single. They're trying to push his music career right now a little bit and get that underneath the WWE banner for more people to pay attention to, you know, what he's doing in that respect, in those regards. But yeah, I mean, for the match in the future, it'll be a good match. Jeff will perform, you know, Elias will go out there and do what he does and look good doing it, and that's pretty much what it's going to be. It's going to be a one and done. I don't think that this is going to be some kind of long, drawn-out feud. I don't see that in the cards, but
yeah. I think also with Elias, since he just came back, like you said, with the album, I think they're probably just easing him back into TV and focusing more on pushing the album right now and getting those sales and getting a buzz. And once that dies down, then maybe you'll see Elias focus more in the ring, or WWE have Elias focus more in the ring. But, sure. You know, hey, people thought that was, there was not too long ago that people were convinced. People were doing podcasts with big bold letters in their titles that Matt Riddle's getting buried from WWE. I don't think so.
Right.
So, you know, Matt Riddle gets the win tonight. He's on Team Raw. You know, we had those hokey segments throughout the night. You know, Sheamus is not happy at Riddle. AJ's not my captain. I'm calling these people names and blah, blah, blah. And Keith Lee with the overacting on the laughing. I mean, like, I thought one of the commentators was laughing through the microphone when they were doing a segment with the names. And I look up, and it's fucking Keith Lee. I mean, laughing uncontrollably. I don't know. I did not like any of the segment at all. And then, you know, when they're arguing as far as who's the captain, and AJ Styles says he's got a match idea. Honestly, I thought the match idea was going to be those five guys in a match, the winner is the captain.
Oh, it's too simple, DT.
I mean,
can't do something like
wouldn't
that.
Wouldn't that have been easier? But instead, for some reason, AJ Styles wants to referee. And they do the typical comedic stuff where Keith Lee and Braun Strowman sandwich AJ Styles. One time they teased Jordan going into the ring where he was going to go fist the cuffs, but then they go to fucking commercial and we're like, oh, okay, forget about that. The match was fun, but in the end, what did it do? Tonight felt like, all right, let's just get past this week and make it all count next week. That's what this edition of Raw felt like.
Yeah.
Because what the only thing that came out of tonight, other than maybe a little bit of an advancement for Retribution, is if you really think about progression, the only thing that came out of tonight is Matt Riddle is on Team Raw for Survivor Series.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Everything, I think that you kind of hit the nail on the head with that one. It's they're tap dancing till next week. They're just trying to squeeze as much as they can before they go home to Survivor Series. They don't have the lead into it. There's no hook. There's no storylines to really catch on to. The storylines that have been existing for a while, like even the Ray storyline, is so convoluted that it's difficult to make sense. Jeff and Elias are pretty much going to be a nice one and done. And even the Survivor Series teams, the Team Raw versus Team SmackDown, dude, I like the idea of it. I just wish they would do more to get people on board with it, as opposed to just, this roster doesn't like this roster because red doesn't like blue.
That's, you know, it sucks even more. And 90s guy, shout out to you, my friend. He missed Raw. You're lucky. I mean, you're very lucky. You really, you, look, there's some matches tonight were very good. I mean, let's be honest. The three-way to open up tonight was pretty good with Elias, Riddle, and Jeff Hardy. The match between Braun and Sheamus versus Keith Lee and Riddle was a lot of fun as well. Mustafa Ali, or, you know, they're trying to do Mustafa Ali versus Ricochet was phenomenal, which we've seen them work before. I mean, you know, they're great in the ring. But it just, as far as for Survivor Series, it just felt like, fuck, we got 2 weeks worth of writing and we got 4 weeks worth of Raw. So let's just fill in a whole bunch of crap. But I'll tell you what is really, really, really missing about Survivor Series this year. And it's not NXT. It's not NXT. What is really missing about Survivor Series that will happen next week, I can almost guarantee it'll happen, is, what's you that? Remember, like, a couple of years ago, remember Kurt Angle with the, it's on! It's on! They're here! They're here! Get security! Like, nobody is invading either brand. You might get one person, or they cut a promo. You know, Lashley tonight, Sami Zayn didn't say anything.
You want to get everybody on board?
What?
You want to get everybody on board? Tell everybody that Team Red is pro-Trump and everybody on Team Blue is pro-Biden, and I guarantee you Survivor Series will be off the chain.
I'm telling you, there's some political little teases. And when they said AJ is not my captain, it felt like Trump is not my president or Biden is not my president. Like, right. It feels, I even said this on Friday, I almost feel like a little bit of the Seth Rollins storyline is almost like what some people in the past did against Trump. And this is not a pro-Trump thing, but...
No, but you're missing it. Dude, you're missing what I'm trying to say.
Republican and...
If you really did that, if you sit there and say that Team Raw is fighting for Trump, they're fighting this Survivor Series for Trump, and Team SmackDown is fighting for Biden, I'm telling you, people would really bite on board with that. And not only that, if you did that, like, let's say right now, you know, all those news outlets would be like, can you believe what WWE is doing? They're having their Survivor Series this year. Oh, but there would be people watching. There
would be fucking people watching. Seriously, I'd feel bad whoever was on Team Raw. Can you imagine, like, somebody on, I mean, not Team Raw, Team Trump. Can you imagine somebody's on Team Trump? And you could even research it, and they've donated all their salary for Biden's campaign, and you get hit with that stigmata. I mean, you would have people, I mean, stranger. Look, I brought it up 2 weeks ago on the Don Tony Show on Friday. I don't have it in front of me. I want it, maybe I could pull it up. I don't know if I still have it. But one of Trump's Republican websites, it wasn't affiliated with Trump, but it was a website that was publishing celebrities and who they've contributed to what. And it was mostly for Biden. And they had Ronda Rousey on the list, and they talked about how Ronda Rousey had supported Bernie Sanders, I think, in 16 or whatever it was. And or maybe, it might have been 16. And then on the bottom caption, and it would do it for almost each person, if they had a negative thing about them, they made sure to post it. This person got arrested for this. This person got fined for this. This person was accused. When they got to Ronda Rousey, they actually wrote that Ronda Rousey was arrested in 2018 in a WWE event. I swear to God, I wish, I don't think I have this photo anymore because I was streamlining my pictures because they build up in here way too quickly. But when I saw that, I said, wait a minute. Where did she get arrested at a WWE event? And I'm thinking to myself, did she punch somebody out? Or did something happen that I'm just drawing a blank about? I'm looking at my list. Nothing seems to be popping up, so I don't have it here. But it was the segment with her. And when she was the brawling with Becky Lynch, and she was in the car and she kicked the window, and they actually reported that she was arrested at a WWE event. Of course.
Oh, dude, it was even funnier. I was reading some of the online rags this weekend, over the weekend and stuff like that, and they were saying things like WWE Hall of Famer and former President Donald Trump. And I laughed my ass off.
Those are the wrestling websites that do that. I mean, Ringside News, I swear to God, I want to cut my penis off and shove it in my mouth when I watch that stuff. I want to cut my fingers off for actually clicking enter and shove them in my eyes. I really want to take, like, the sharpest toenails and poke my eyes out with it when I go on that website. They write all of these extra words for search terms. So when people search it, there's a better chance. And I understand why they do it. But whenever they talk about COVID-19, they don't write like, oh, you know, keep in your prayers, Tom Lawler, he has COVID-19. They'll write, there's no secret that the United States has record cases of the novel coronavirus. They actually write novel coronavirus. And unfortunately, we need to report. And they just go on. There's always like two absolutely moronic sentences that in the beginning. And now they're the ones that write, you know, former or WWE Hall of Famer loses presidential election. It's like, stop with the fucking clickbait stuff.
Horrible. God. Like, seriously. They can't even announce him as the president. They have to announce him as a WWE Hall of Famer first. Like, that takes precedent over being the president of the United States. That's hilarious.
Fucking idiots, man. Just garbage. Garbage. And now, because Meltzer reports stuff, they're like, how come we're not getting credit for this? You fucking 12-year-old fucking virgin losers, man. Seriously. My God, seriously, put your penis in here and close it, if you even have a dick. Because I honestly, and the only reason why I'm bringing up male parts is because I don't know any goofy women that work for that fucking website. Seriously, just put every time you're about to type novel coronavirus, put your finger in there and just close it shut. Fucking idiots. I hate them. Seriously. I want to go on their website. Next time I go on their website, I'm going to... Losers. Fucking suck. Seriously. I hate them. I swear to God, I never saw such a garbage website. What's the guy, Steve Carrier? Steve Carrier, is that guy's name? Oh my God. He is what I used to say about Dave Shearer 20 years ago. I used to say this on my hotline in 1999, 2000. You imagine Dave Shearer, Wade Keller, or someone else walking into a bar and they're socializing with, you know, whatever floats their boat, male, female, I don't care. Oh, what do you do? Oh, I'm a journalist. Oh, really? What do you write for? The New York Times? The Philadelphia Inquirer? What do you write for? Oh, I write for... I'm sorry, what was that? Oh, I'm a journalist. Oh, what do you write? Oh, I write for... I mean, how do these people... This is your life's calling? To actually go on Twitter? I wrote this first! Since 1999. I started in 97, but my catchphrase in 99 was, I don't want to be first. I want to be right. I'd rather be right 99% of the time than be first. Oh, Googles. You know, Mish, you're setting the world record tonight. You know, Anthony Diaz pointed out that we have gone 1 hour and 8 minutes, and you have yet to blink.
1 hour? 2 hours?
No, well, the show's been 1 hour and 8 minutes so far.
What?
Yeah, we've gone 1 hour and 8 minutes. Yeah, we start 11:05. It's 12:14. We start at 10:05 your time, and it's 11:14 your time.
Oh, my clock is still screwed up. Okay.
Oh,
never
you didn't
mind.
Turn
Sorry.
The clock? Oh, yeah. Okay.
That's no, fine. I didn't.
I didn't. My clock in my kitchen is still 1 hour later, and right now it's probably showing 1:15 in the morning. So, but
I just realized that because I'm like, oh, it's 12:14. It's 1 a.m. over by DT. Jesus.
I have nothing personal against these goofs, but I just imagine, I mean, like, I'm sorry for saying this. I don't mean to be like an asshole sometimes, but you know, there's one common denominator with about 95% of all of these goofs online that are writing these tweets. Hey, everybody, look at me. You know, I'm an insecure blah, blah, blah year old, but, you know, I'm just going to write insulting jokes and like me, please. And the one common denominator is 95% of these goofs are not married and don't have a significant other. Because, I'm sorry, his name is Steve Carrier. Could you imagine if Mrs. Carrier walked into the room and a grown-ass 40-year-old is on fucking social media? Hey, Dave, I wrote it before you. I swear to God. See, this thing, I'm not going to break it. I could actually use this thing. This is for my sunglasses. But, no, I would just no, I can't break it. Oh, because it's all like jelly and stuff like that.
Why are you breaking your
made me break my glasses case.
Jesus, DT.
You fucking asshole. Seriously.
What did your sunglasses ever do to you?
It's an asshole. By the way, tonight's show is brought to you by Glasses USA. Their glasses are awesome. Their cases are kind of shungada, though. Look at the case you sold me, Glasses USA. What the hell is that, man? So anyway, we're trying to make this episode a little bit more brighter because Raw kind of sucked tonight, to be honest with you.
Sure.
Yeah. So let's see what else we got tonight. Oh, Drew Gulak, looking pretty dapper. You know, wants to join the Hurt Business, gets turned down. He's wearing a clip-on tie. And, you know, I like the little subliminal. Like, why are you wearing a clip-on tie? And Drew Gulak was basically saying, like, you know, if anybody tries to fight me for the 24-7 title and grabs my tie, you know, it comes off and I can escape. It's actually pretty smart. I tell you, I can't believe in a storyline yet that somebody has not, like, doused himself with oil. Like, cooking oil. I'm serious. Just
What was it? What was that guy that WWE had? Wasn't he, like, one of the creative guys?
Oh, the fat, oily guy.
Yeah, they used to have a fat, Chris naked, Joseph, or...
I think his name was.
Yeah, used to run around. He'd be like this. Oiled up and danced. Yeah, he'd dance.
You just dance. But I should lift my shirt. No, not tonight. I want to lose 10 more pounds. Gulak or R-Truth should just take, they should buy like a gallon of Wesson oil and in front of Charlie Caruso or any of the other kind, just pour it over the head. And then when somebody tries to attack them, they'll just slip everywhere. They'll just, like, when they try to grab him, he just slips out of their hands. I think pour a gallon of Wesson oil over your head. Nobody will be able to pin you.
Why not just make it KY?
Oh, because this is WWE.
Oh, it's too, yeah, it's not. Yeah, sorry. We don't want to apply what KY is for.
No. By the way, you know, they showed the Veterans Day video.
Mm-hmm.
Go back and look, everyone. After the Veterans Day video aired, I'll be honest with you. In defense of the Thunderdome crowd, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. I've been on Thunderdome 3 times already. And I know with segments and commercials, we don't see anything. So I'm wondering if the Thunderdome live crowd did not see the Veterans Day segment. The reason why I say that is because after the segment was over and they were panned in Thunderdome, I guess WWE expected everybody to be like this, you know, and go, USA, USA. And everybody was like,
yeah.
Almost nobody reacted. And my immediate response was, this is worse than Ringside News. These pricks aren't even clapping. And then I thought about it after. I said, you know what? They may not have seen the segment. So they probably don't even know why. You know what I mean? Like, they may have had someone mention it because you do have a WWE superstar or somebody on the mic telling you, you know, to react to certain things. You know? So I don't know. Yes, the chants were piped in. They were definitely piped in. The Claymore 3-2-1 was piped in today. I thought they did it really good.
Yeah.
Shayna Baszler beating Lana in 2 minutes. After the match was over, Nia was going to put her to her table. Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose stop it. Then in the back, another odd segment. You know, I mean, Lana's like, look, I want to thank you two for helping me. And they're looking at her like, you know, we were trying to help you. And I'm like, what, are you fucking stupid? That's what she just said. Like, you could tell that they were doing lines. But
right.
It didn't make sense. That segment was god-awful. It was horrendous. There was, you know what's a point, too? You go back, and we could mention this match now. We had Asuka beat Nia Jax by DQ. Match was decent for as long as it was on. But then what ended up happening was, towards the end, Asuka had the Asuka lock on Nia. Shayna Baszler entered the ring, caused the DQ. But there was one part during the match, I invited everybody to go back and look at it. You had a part where Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose were outside the ring. And I think Lana was on the ring, the edge of the ring. And she gets knocked off. And she was supposed to fall into Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose to knock all three out. You go back and you watch it. She does not touch Dana Brooke once, and Dana Brooke just falls down. I mean, just falls down like, you know, she got a coronary or something. It was just, it's awful. It's awful. And yeah. I know they keep giving chances, but it's like over and over and over. It's just horrendous, you know. But then Nia Jax puts Lana through the table again, and the whole storyline is nobody wants her on the team.
Right.
Now, there's two ways you could do it.
Sorry.
Yeah, there's two ways to go. She pulls herself out of Survivor Series, and maybe Charlotte or someone takes her spot. Or she still shows up at Survivor Series and actually gets a couple of pins.
Or she turns on her team at Survivor Series.
It's not a bad idea. It's not a bad idea at all.
Hasn't that happened before in a different Survivor Series where somebody actually went through a heel turn at Survivor Series and turned on their team?
I remember that match that was on the line where I think, didn't Big Show like turn on his team? Wasn't it for the jobs of like, I think Eric Rowan and Ziggler, weren't they like jobs on the line and Big Show turned? And that was for all those weeks that Stephanie kept slapping him and slapping him and slapping him. And he's looking at her and he starts crying. Remember, stop crying. You're a giant. Stop crying. That was horrendous, too.
Oh, Big Show. Yeah. But yeah, Lana could turn on the team. I mean, I could see that working or at least being somewhat better than what they're doing now.
Yeah. If Riddle would have given a nickname to Keith Lee and Braun Strowman, I would have actually posted in the Raw results tonight the nicknames instead, because he called Sheamus called him Dopey, and he said happy birthday to Keith Lee. So I would have, if he would have said like birthday boy to Keith Lee, I would have said Dopey and birthday boy beat Fireface and whatever else. You would have thought there were new members of Retribution. Wait a minute, Fireface won a match? Who's that? New member of Retribution? It sounded like Retribution names. So, I don't know. The match was okay, but just didn't make sense. Like I said, they should have just kept it simple. And you know what? Wouldn't surprise me if next week they do that match, the five-way, and the winner is captain.
Wouldn't be surprised. You know? Maybe they listen to the show, DT. Maybe they'll come up with a good idea.
Bobby Lashley. Oh, Titus O'Neil. He got turned down for the Hearth Club 3 weeks. 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
For some reason, he shows up tonight about it. And he gets a U.S.
title. I like Titus O'Neil. Dude, I like Titus O'Neil being their foil. You know, Titus O'Neil's been out of the picture for a minute now. And he has built himself up as this ambassador for the company. But at the same time, people don't forget that he's a huge guy. He's got the muscly muscles, you know. Like, he can go out there and be a foil for the Hurt Locker.
Yeah.
And I'm not necessarily against it. I like Titus. Titus makes more sense, you know, squaring off, talking crap to Bobby, talking crap to Cruz, talking crap to MVP. Like, I like Titus O'Neil as their foil. I don't know how they're going to play it out. I don't know where it's going to end up. But he's a good counterpoint to them.
It's true. Yeah. I just wish they would either do more with him or don't make him look like a goof. You know, like MVP tonight acknowledged that Titus does a lot for kids. So he's got a little respect for Titus. So he was giving Titus an opportunity to just walk away. But he gets a U.S. title match. And by the way, I don't, if you go back and you watch that match, Lashley was trying to put that submission move on him. And I guess Titus is too big. So you, if you go back and you look at it, Lashley starts moving towards the ropes. It seems like he's moving towards the ropes because he realizes that the submission move just looks cacas completely. But right. The problem is Titus O'Neil is tapping at the same time. And I was like, oh, my God, this is just – I mean, we had multiple matches that ended in less than 3 minutes. And this match was only a minute long. And it, to me, it was pointless. It was just absolutely pointless. Obviously, Sami Zayn versus Bobby Lashley is not on the radar for WWE for anybody to really look forward to that match. And that's the reason why Sami Zayn never even cut a promo on Friday. You know, so it was just, it felt like filler. It felt like, let's just get past this week. So, Mustafa Ali versus Ricochet. You know, we know these guys could go. They had an excellent match. Like you said earlier, you know, to see Retribution, like, afraid of the, intimidated by the referee is just, I don't know.
It's goofy. It doesn't, well, I mean, it just makes the whole group look just goofy. This is supposed to be a group that's not afraid of rules, that's breaking rules, that doesn't really care what the company thinks, even though they abide by the company rules, and now they're afraid of what the referee will do during a match, even though they supposedly don't care about that stuff. Like, it's, the entire group is just one big oxymoron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still am convinced, though, by allowing Mia Yim to get mic time, and she talked about someone with purple and blue hair. Those are planting the seeds that I think she is going to attack Asuka. And I think it may happen at Survivor Series. And I think that'll carry over. And it's going to be really interesting because I have a feeling, I know people may not like this, but I got a really strange feeling that a month from now, you might see some gold on Retribution. I don't know which belts they will be, but I think there is a possibility that Mia Yim could take the women's championship off of Asuka.
Yeah.
And especially the way WWE is with women sometimes. Imagine that group and Mia Yim is the only one with a belt. I could see that happening. So
that could be. I don't know. Mia Yim's plans within the group and plans on the roster seem so thin. I don't even have any idea. I can't even really speculate what they should properly do with her. It's just, I don't know, man.
Yeah. We had the announcement during the show today that next week Shelton Benjamin and Cedric are going to take on New Day for the tag titles. You know, I don't think there's going to be any title change. Like I said, I think what's been missing is the attacks from the other brand. We'll probably see that next week. SmackDown will show up on Raw, cause chaos, and then Raw will show up on SmackDown to reciprocate, cause chaos. That leads into Sunday. Mm-hmm. Expect a lot of clusterfuck finishes next week. But Mustafa Ali and Ricochet, excellent match. Had no problems other than a little mistiming by Dijakovic outside the ring, but it was a fun match. That segment once again where Nikki Cross, you know, I don't know. How do you say no? Where is she from, Australia? She's from Australia, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they say no in Australia.
Dummy, I got my family in Scotland. I can't lose. I keep losing. I got my family in Scotland. I need to win. I can't lose. Don't be me. So, you know, how do you say no in Scotland? No? You've been trying to get on Alexa Bliss's good side for the last month, and she's breaking mugs. She's cursing you out. She's hitting you with like Sister Abigail's or whatever she's hitting you with. I mean, you know, again, this is like the abused puppy syndrome once again. You have a pet at home, and I don't condone this, but let's be honest. Nikki Cross, in storyline, we're just talking storyline, Nikki Cross is like a pet that you neglect. You could break their bowl. Look, it's the bowl you bought me when I was a puppy, you know, instead of the mug. You break the bowl. You leave the pet outside. Everybody's eating, and the pet is just looking in the window, steam on the glass. Can I have some of that? No, you can't. And after all of that, the dog walks into the house, wagging his tail. Hey, are we still friends? Are you? I'm still your pal, right?
And Alexa. So what you're saying is next week we're going to have Alexa Bliss licking a window, begging for food. I mean,
oh man,
could you wear like a leash and a collar too? I'm just saying.
I don't know. Maybe Nikki Cross. Maybe she thinks, you know, maybe in America, blowing flowers in somebody's face is a compliment. Maybe that's a compliment. Maybe she meant yes. She blew flowers in my face. Maybe that means yes. I fucking hate it, man. I mean, and they were not bad as a tag team, but, you know, just think about that. They split up the Iconics. They split up Sasha and Bayley, and they split up Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss as far as tag teams. That has hurt.
They have a tag team division. Yeah,
that has hurt them substantially. That's why right now I don't think they care that much about the tag division. But I'll tell you this much. I will say this. I am really enjoying Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler as the tag champs. I had a feeling that I was going to like it, and I think they are doing just fine with the tag titles.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying both of them. This helped Shayna. Because Shayna, you know, you had all those things that Vince, she doesn't fit in the roster. And Nia Jax, she had a lot of heat on her, you know, deservingly so. And a lot of those tag belts have helped both of them tremendously.
Well, it helps because Nia Jax is not really much of a personality. So it kind of forces Shayna to have a personality, which is not something that's been her strong suit over the years, even down in NXT. So now all of a sudden, Shayna's cracking jokes. She's got one-liners. She's doing the whole nudge-nudge with Nia. They have a weird camaraderie built up. I don't think that they're necessarily lighting the world on fire with this tag team. I think it's a good suit for them now. But I'm waiting, because the whole point of this is eventually we're going to get to it where these two go at each other's throats, and we're going to have the breakup. I don't even know if it's going to go that long. I'm not sure. It might just go to Royal Rumble for all I know. You know, but it's going to come to a head, and you're going to see Shayna versus Nia. And I think a lot of people are at least becoming more interested in seeing Shayna kick the shit out of Nia. Maybe some people want Nia to kick the shit out of Shayna. I don't know who those people are, but I'm sure there's some out there. Yeah. But I think it's the opportunity that this is clearly going to be the launch of Shayna's single career after this.
Yeah. Ken, you brought up Otis and Tucker. We're talking about the women's tag team division. They broke up some male tag teams as well. Absolutely.
No question. Don't shame just because Otis had some breast meat on him. I mean, come on there, DT.
I'm telling you, this storyline is going to lead to either Otis needing Mandy back or Otis, they're going to do the storyline that he's downtrodden and, you know, just bad luck. Something's going to happen. Turn the corner. This is all design. This is, let me tell you something. For people out there that say WWE does not know what to do with Otis right now, I'm not saying what they're doing is right. They know exactly what they're doing with Otis right now. Sure, they're making Otis. He lost the girl. He lost his briefcase. He lost his tag partner. He's losing everything. That is a
Tucky's been okay for himself. Tucky is now a former champion, DT.
Two-time. Didn't he win the belt twice?
Two-time.
I think he's a two-time.
Twice,
two-time,
that's right.
Two-time 24/7 champion. Main event tonight, Miz Morrison and Randy Orton, they lose to The New Day and Drew McIntyre. You know, it was a fun match, but obviously this was designed for the setup for the next week of Drew versus Randy. Randy reluctant to get in the ring with Drew. A couple of points, didn't want to tag in, but in the end, basically, you know, you had Miz and Morrison were getting a decent amount of offense in, but in the end, Randy Orton refuses to tag himself in from Morrison. He walks down the rampway, and Drew McIntyre finishes off Miz and Morrison. Claymore gets the win, And, you know, that's how we go off the air. You know, it was your typical Raw six-man main event. And, you know, Randy being a little reluctant. I mean, you know, Drew's mic work, you know, speaking like, Randy, we're going to fight next week. You might as well come in the ring. I beg you, don't be a bitch. You know, so you knew Randy was not entering that ring. But, you know, when Randy went up the rampway, I thought we were going to see Fiend, but we didn't. We just went off the air like nothing. And I think, I'll say it again, I think Sheamus is going to get involved next week. And then that will lead to Drew showing up at Survivor Series, retribution, pun intended, to Sheamus. And that takes Drew into a different direction. Got to fight my former friend. This is more about titles. This is about friendship.
A friend.
Blood.
Yes, friendship. Exactly.
So, before we leave, because we wanted to do 90 minutes tonight, we are exactly at 90 minutes. We just want to get into the updated card for Survivor Series. You know, when you go through all the matches, doesn't sound like a bad Survivor Series. You have Randy Orton, who is the Raw WWE champion, versus Roman Reigns, who is the Universal champion on SmackDown. You know, no titles on the line. We're not doing predictions now. We're just going through the card. We have Asuka, who is the Raw Women's Champion, versus Sasha Banks, SmackDown Women's Champion. You have New Day representing Raw as the tag champs versus the Street Profits, the SmackDown tag champs. We have Team Raw of AJ Styles, Braun Strowman, Keith Lee, Riddle, and Sheamus going up against Kevin Owens, King Corbin, Jey Uso, Seth Rollins, and the fifth member will be determined this Friday. And then you have on the women's side, you have Team Raw, which right now is Dana Brooke, Mandy Rose, Lana, Nia Jackson, Shayna Baszler. And Team SmackDown currently is Bianca Belair and Ruby Riott. So they still have to fill three more spots. Let's see if Natty gets a third opportunity to be on the team. 2 weeks probably in a row, she had an opportunity. So
yeah.
Who do you think is going to be the fifth spot for Team SmackDown?
Damn, I don't know. What are the options that we got right now? SmackDown's a little light when it comes to women's. Jesus, I don't know. Who do you think?
I think Bayley's got to be on Team SmackDown. I think they need to put a big name on that team. I think Bayley should be on that team. Maybe Natty does get a spot on there again. Other than that,
not Carmella?
Carmella? Well, the interesting thing is they set up Carmella versus Sasha Banks. That's going to be the feud after Survivor Series. Nothing wrong with putting Carmella on. And you know what? Carmella on Team SmackDown? It would be stupid for Sasha Banks to try to get retribution at Survivor Series because she's hurting her own team. They're all the blue brand, so it wouldn't make sense.
Right.
But, you know, we'll find out Friday. On the men's side, who do you think could fill that fifth spot? A lot of people thought it was going to be Lars. The way they're doing those segments right now, I don't know if they're really... I would like to see Lars. I think it would be interesting to see Lars against Keith Lee or Lars against Braun Strowman. Because right now on SmackDown, the big man is really King Corbin, if you want, or Kevin Owens, and they're not like behemoths. So you would think they would have one really big man on the card.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Buddy Murphy is not a bad choice because of the storyline, you know, but I think this storyline...
But we still have time to add more storylines, too, so we don't even know if that these six matches are going to be the only matches on Survivor Series. That might be a singles match, and we still don't even know what they're going to do for the pre-show. They're definitely not going to have any of these six matches on the pre-show. At least you wouldn't expect it.
Yeah, as of right now, you expect any title... Wait, no, there are no title changes at Survivor Series other than 24-7. No belts are on the line. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there's no probably going to be a 24-7. Yeah, there's probably going to be a 24-7 match on there or a gimmick.
Yeah,
that might be the only title change. Yeah.
How come SmackDown doesn't challenge for the 24-7 title? Like, I know the reasons why, but I'm just saying, like, I'm surprised they haven't had some SmackDown people show up to try to take that 24-7 title or maybe mix it up a little bit.
Is it a Raw exclusive belt?
I don't think it's a Raw exclusive belt, But, you know, I know R-Truth belongs to Raw. But if you use right. that mentality, the belt can never go to SmackDown. If you're going to use, if everyone's going to use that mentality that since R-Truth is on Raw, the belt is on Raw, how does it get to SmackDown? So you have to have people show up. Personally, I think if you're going to, I think they've jumped the shark with this laziness like we were talking about before. So if you're going to continue the laziness, mix it up a little bit. Have 2 or 3 weeks on Raw with the goofiness. Then put it on SmackDown for 2 or 3 weeks. Have somebody show up, take the title from R-Truth, and go on SmackDown. If R-Truth wants to show up on SmackDown to try to get his baby back, fine. But mix it up. This way, we have a couple of weeks where we don't get it on Raw. So
I agree.
Yeah. So with that, everybody, we're going to jet out of here. Very manageable 95, 96 minutes tonight. I love it. You know, we'll try to keep the same time frame for Friday. And Eddie, lunch meat. The reason why there's no balloon super chat tonight, that's that bigger box, is because there's a double screen. And if I put the balloon, the only place for me to put the balloon would be in the middle. And, you know, when we're live, it will block like half our faces out. So it's a lot easier right. to just put it on the bottom like this. So, you know, it doesn't interfere with the screens. But when I'm doing the solo show, I have that whole right side that, you know, I put you over me. So that's the reason why. It's more of just logistics. But, you know, next week we'll be back to full video. But don't forget, everyone, if you're a part of our Patreon or if you want to sign up, patreon.com/DonTony, you get 1 to 2 Patreon-exclusive shows every week. Guaranteed 1 to 2 a week. Mish and I will be on tomorrow night. Kev Castle may be joining us as well. I know people are going to be like, what? Yeah, we're going to have a discussion about the election and everything. I don't know if he even wants to be on because... You know, somebody brought to my attention that he had tweeted, he's like, he could care less about the election or whoever's president. So I don't know if he has any investment in what, but, you know, I'm sure he'll probably want to come on anyway. So we'll be on tomorrow night on Patreon for about the same amount of time. Wednesday will be Wednesday Night Dynamite. Thursday is Wrestling Soup, 7:30 p.m.?
Yes, sir.
Which is 6:30.
And this week's... Yeah, 6:30 Central, 7:30 Eastern. I'll also be putting up the show either probably tomorrow morning from this Sunday. It's a late show. But me and Joe also on Wednesday will be doing a Frank and Gus, and we're going to be doing a shitbox either on Wednesday as well. We're going to be doing a double show because we got to catch up a little bit because I've been gone for a week. So I'll probably put up the shitbox Q&A on the Patreon, and then people can go ahead and
one last thing before we go. I saved the best for last. You know, big shout out to Ken Terminator by DQ. You know, we talked earlier about Will Ferrell and the tribute to Alex Trebek. Shout out to you. Shout out to me. And he wanted to me to relay to Sam a big fuck you to Sam. So Sam, you know, like Ringside News. I don't know who Sam is, but I'm just joking. For like Ringside News and those other goofs out there, fuck you, Sam. So Sam, I am. And you know what? Before we go, I'm pulling Sam, up, I am. And you know what? Before we go, shit. I'm sorry about that. I want to give a happy birthday to Sean Bedard, David Park, and Kenny Levitt. So I wanted to give a shout out to all three. It's their birthdays this week. I sometimes forget to do birthday shout outs, but you know what I am going to do for everyone out there is on my website, I'm going to make a birthday section. I have it on Patreon right now, but I'm going to put one on the website also. Once I put it up this week, you're welcome to, you know, email me your birthday. I'll make a list. I'll put it up by month. And then when it falls into the week that's your birthday, we'll do birthday shout-outs. So we'll open that up this week for everybody out there. But once again, Sam, fuck you. Shout out to everybody who experienced and enjoyed scrambled porn when we were younger. Oh, man. You know what's the best about this shirt? The closeness of his face to the TV. Because I kid you not, and I don't want to scare anybody out there right now and creep you out, but if the screen is the TV, because it was scrambled,
Like, we realized later on, if you squinted your eyes, if you stood like this, you actually could kind of see an outline of people getting laid. But you would actually look up like this in somebody's face. You'd be like, and you try to, you think getting closer, you would see more. But the boxes would just be more pixelated. And, you know, there's always that saying when you were young, don't sit too close to the TV. You're going to hurt your eyes. But, yeah, scrambled porn, man. I am definitely one of those that grew up on scrambled porn. Scrambled wrestling pay-per-views also. Scrambled wrestling pay-per-views.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but everyone, much love as always. We're going to jet out of here. And, Mish, glad that you're getting a little bit settled in Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be an amazing setup, and I'm looking forward to having it on video soon. So.
Awesome, man. Awesome. You know, I'm here if you need me for anything. And we'll talk, because of what we talked about earlier today, we'll talk tomorrow.
Absolutely.
All right, Mish.
All right, guys.
I'll talk to you soon. See the magic of video, everybody? That's how Mish would look when he goes off the air. He's still frozen on the screen. So the ending is kind of the beginning. So, Ken, you didn't have to do that, man. I appreciate that. No, I was saved the best for last, but he sent me a super chat thanking me for doing a super chat. You know, much love, my friend. So, you know, and, you know, I don't know what the deal is with Sam. You know, Sam, I think you probably need to, like, send, like, $10, $20 this way so we could say, fuck you to Ken. No, I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding. But, hey. We're one big family over here. I'm glad everybody is having a good time. You know, wrestling is entertainment. You know, I think some people forget that sometimes. Sure, you don't want your favorites to be quote-unquote buried because, yes, it's just a job, but if they are buried, it also feels like the company has no faith in them. But at the end of the day, it's just entertainment. And I think we got to just enjoy it, have some fun with it. What I said earlier about ringside, it's nothing personal with those guys. They work and they work hard. Sometimes, though, I don't think they realize how childish. And they're not, and let's be honest, they are not the only ones that do that. And sometimes I'm guilty of being very childish. But I get to laugh because they do it more. But we're just, it's all good fun, everyone. But I hope everybody enjoyed this episode. And Mish and I will be back next Monday night with the next episode. If you haven't checked it out already and you submitted a question for the last episode, I put up the Q&A tonight. And the next one will be 2 weeks from today. So if you want to take part in it, you know, you just go in my channel. You'll see the thread. I made a separate thread where you could post your question. I know there's already 20 questions up there, and it's not even up for a couple of hours. So it's going to be interesting to see 2 weeks from now how many questions are there. You could ask me anything. And, you know, if it is, you know, requested by enough of you out there, maybe then the following Q&A, it'll be myself and Mish. We'll do a two-man Q&A. So, but I want to thank everybody. And seriously, to everyone out there, Ken and everyone else, much love. You know, you guys out there, and I'm not pandering. I don't kiss up to anybody. You should know that. But you really make this so much more enjoyable. When I see everyone out there having a good time, there's no animosity. There's no anger. You know, we could poke fun and joke and be lighthearted about it without being malicious. But when I see everybody having a good time, it just makes this that much more enjoyable. So I hope you all have a great night. Be safe. Be well. And you'll get me once again, either Tuesday on Patreon or Wednesday night Dynamite. We'll review NXT and AEW and any other news that breaks between now and then. So everyone, be well. Much love. And I am out of here. Good night, everybody. Scramble porn.